And folks, it's one of these things when you look at the state of the economy and you look at all of the books that are coming out now. There is one, and I'm sorry, but I've only gotten to page 224 of 320 of this book. It's called Radical Nation. And the gentleman who wrote it, all you got to do is turn on Newsmax, and he's there. He was the communications director and chief strategist for the Republican National Committee. He was a former communications director for the House Republican Committee. He worked for the Trump administration as press secretary, communications director, has a master's degree in national security and strategic studies from the Naval War College. I mean, who would know better than Sean Spicer, the state of the nation right now? And he's written this book called Radical Nation, which, like I said, I have been skimming through this thing going, yep, it sure looks like a complete compendium, chronological timetable of all the snafus that have happened ever since President Trump left office. And the gentleman at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue with the mental acuity of a two-year-old took over. Welcome to the Power Hour, Sean Spicer.
Dave, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate the fact you wrote this book. I mean, there's some real interesting details that I was not aware of. But apparently, you've really taken an interest in this Steele dossier cover-up. Explain where this book goes in that regard.
Well, let's just take everyone back a second. I was there. I took the phone call on January 10th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon from Jake Tapper at CNN and then from BuzzFeed saying, we've got this two-page, quote, dossier that we're about to run with and publish that's unsubstantiated. And by the way, CNN lied by saying that Trump had seen the dossier. I was with him in the classified briefing. I maintained a security clearance. I was able to go into the briefing with him with Clapper and Comey, et cetera. And they lied that he had received a copy of it, that We never actually had it. It wasn't ready. And it was a series of allegations that were unsubstantiated at the time, one of which I immediately debunked. And I literally called Michael Cohen. It said that he'd been in Prague doing something. I thought, well, this is easy. I called Michael Cohen. He said, hey, I left the office about a half hour ago. I said, weird question. Do you have your passport on you? And he said, I do. I carry it, which I thought that was a little weird, but whatever. And I said, can you come back? And he said, are you kidding me? And I said, no, I need you to come back. I need to look at your passport. Trust me, it's important. And he came back. I looked at it. Not only did he end up in Prague, he had never left the country in close to the proximity of when this thing alleged he had gone out of the country and done nefarious things. And I started telling people, look, on its face, it's a lie. Because I can already debunk one of the things. Well, we don't care. And for years, Dave, this was the narrative. When I stood at that podium at the White House, almost every press conference was dominated by Russia. We now have today, literally hours ago, Sally Busby, the executive editor of the Washington Post, is now removing and updating stories from 2017, 2016, saying that they, the Washington Post, cannot stand by their reporting on this. That tells you how bad it was. But this defined the Trump administration, and I write in the book Radical Nation about how they changed their moniker. They were Democracy Dies in Darkness, except for the fact that they themselves pulled the shade over it.
Well, but this whole thing, Sean, is just, I mean, looking through this book, and I'm looking at all the various chapters in here, and I mean, you've literally broken this down piece by piece, and I mean, you even refer to Kamala Harris, I call her Giggles, you know, the president in waiting.
Cackles.
And I mean, and the cackles. Yeah. And I mean, this is the sort of thing. I mean, there is an actual website, my understanding is, where you can go to and hear 10 hours straight of Harris laughing. This is no laughing matter. What you're saying in this book, this is some pretty serious stuff.
Well, think about it. The Politico asked for the second time, did a poll. And one of the questions they ask is about Biden's mental fitness. This isn't right-wing talk radio or Newsmax or Sean Spicer or Dave. This is Politico. Yeah, questioning whether people believe that Biden has the mental capacity to continue. And an astonishing number don't. So if we don't realize that there is a potential, at least a good potential, that Harris becomes president, we're mistaken. And the thing that I wanted to make sure I did in Radical Nation was to give people a very clear understanding of who this person is that is next in line for the presidency, her past, her history, her relationships, her trajectory in politics. But the thing that's fascinating is the White House is running around now and saying, oh, she's got a 28% approval rating. It's because of racism and sexism and right-wing media. And I'm like, number one, No, this is because people in the West Wing are diming her out. Number two is she was chosen not because she was qualified or experienced. She was chosen because Biden said he wanted to choose the first woman of color, meaning he didn't want the most qualified, the most experienced. He had been in the Senate for years prior to Obama. Pence had been in the House and then a governor before he was chosen. You go back, Gore had been in the Senate and in the House. She had been in the Senate for 4 years. He didn't choose her because of the relationships that she had either in the Senate or in sort of amongst world leaders. He chose her because he wanted to be able to say, I appointed and named the first woman of color. That's it. And now we're living with the consequences of that.
Well, and not only that, but I mean, she has been named border czar. And I mean, I haven't seen anything other than a simple touchdown in El Paso. And that is not where all of this is going down. And you chronicle a lot of this in one of the chapters in this book, Radical Nation. Now, this whole thing, I mean, do you actually see America in 2022 next year recovering from all of this?
It's a great question, Dave, because here's the thing. After the drubbing that these guys took on election night a couple weeks back, most people, most parties would tack back towards the center and say, okay, guys, we got to stem our losses in the upcoming midterms. These guys get it. I will give them credit for that. They know they have 12 months before they lose the House of Representatives. It's a foregone conclusion. They will lose it. It's done. Okay. Literally, Republicans need to breathe and they win it back. So the Democrats and the Biden administration recognize that this radical agenda that they have, as much of it as possible, as much as it that they can get bought off on, whether that's three or four items, packing the court, making D.C. a state, all of these things that they want to do, they need to do in the next 12 months because they'll lose it. So in a weird way, as much as I was excited, especially as someone who lives in Virginia, to watch the results of last week or 2 weeks ago, I am worried that it emboldened them more to say, now we get to pressure our guys to say, we got to get this done.
Yeah, that's scary. And not only that, but the fact that now they're getting at our kids, it's almost like they're drawing us away with this critical race theory. And this stuff, reading through the book, I'm just like, man, what Sean is telling us is that this whole scenario started way before President Trump got in office and only got exposed when people started getting locked down nationwide and they started going on their laptops with their kids when they're at home, schooling at home, and they're now seeing what it is these kids are being taught. And this stuff's been in place for a long time.
It has. And the one bright spot of the pandemic is that parents were going, excuse me, what did I just hear on your laptop? You know, on your iPad, because I didn't think that was what you were getting taught. I'm not comfortable with that. And that's what we're realizing now is that these kids are being taught things about themselves, that they're not good enough, that they're inherently bad people, that our country is a bad place, that parents weren't aware of.
I mean, that's just crazy. So as far as and I don't want to give away I'm not going to be a spoiler alert here because I want people to go out and get this book. It's called Radical Nation. Where is this available? Where can you get it now?
So, I mean, Barnes & Noble, Costco, wherever you buy books. Obviously, Amazon's the easiest thing. If you forget that, you just go to Newsmax.com/23 or SeanSpicer.com. We talk about it every night on my show on Newsmax at 6 p.m. But it's you know, anywhere that you buy books, Amazon's obviously the easiest place. And if you live in a place that has Prime, you'll get it within a day. It's an easy read, I think you'll admit. And so if you want to be ready for the holidays, for Thanksgiving and Christmas to argue with the crazy liberal relatives you got coming.
At the dinner table.
because David, I think the problem that I have is that the folks on the right, we need to start the left can't argue facts. I don't like the tweet. I didn't like the style, whatever. But when we fight over facts and policy, we win every single time. And so my thought is, okay, then let's do that. Let's literally deconstruct all of these ridiculous bumper stickers that they have about Build Back Better and voting rights and all that and talk about what their real motives are.
I agree with that. And the as far as the Newsmax versus like Tucker Carlson and people like that, I mean, you guys are almost parallel as far as recognizing what's going on, but I think Newsmax actually where they differentiate from the mainstream media is they're more fact-based. But in this book, you talk about the American media disgrace and you break it into two parts. And the thing is you were communications director and press secretary for President Trump. Now, you obviously have noticed some real serious differences in the way you handled your position when you were in the Trump administration versus the little redhead we have that literally can look the media in the face and lie to them. I mean, there are obviously some huge differences, you know, that what can you tell us about Jen Psaki and you know, what she's up to?
Well, look, I will say this. If I could get away with what Jen did, I would do it too. I mean, she gets up there every day, says things. I mean, yesterday she said that Biden takes twice as many questions as Trump ever did. Now, I just don't think that anybody with a brain thinks that's true, and yet nobody pushed back on it. Nobody.
Yeah, no doubt. And the thing is that, I mean, if Peter Ducey is the only one that's shaken her, and the thing is every time that President Biden gets in front of a microphone, all hell breaks loose. I mean, this guy
keep
is...
Keep in mind that she doesn't call on anybody but Peter Ducey, so she calls all of her liberal friends, her former colleagues that she worked with at CNN, she calls the Washington Post, New York Times, and then throws the obligatory bone to Peter Ducey. And that's it. There's 30, 40 other people in that briefing room. She doesn't call on them.
All right. So what's your take on who's running the show, seriously? Because we know that this president is not running
the
show. Somebody else is.
In the book, I report out that there are a series of Republican senators who have come to start calling Ron Klain, the White House chief of staff, Prime Minister Klain.
Okay. And that's who you think is behind all of this. I mean, he's taken orders from somebody, too, if Ron Klain is doing this. He's taken orders from somebody. I remember a long time ago when President Obama said, if I could just be a little Jiminy Cricket in somebody's ear, have a microphone and just sit in my basement. I mean, we all saw him say that. And when you look at stuff like this, it's like, you know, is it possible that past administrations are influencing what's going on right now, given this assault on everybody's liberty, whether it be religious or social or moral or whatever the case may be?
Well, look, I mean, at the end of the day, he might be getting counsel from a lot of people, but the White House is the kind of place that somebody's got to be there driving the train. And from when you talk to these Republican senators, they'll tell you that we can go to a meeting and get agreement from Biden on something, and then Klain will call back and be like, the deal's off, or I don't like that. I mean, it's startling, to be honest with you, that it's so blatant.
Okay, so for America's future until the 2022 elections, I mean, do you see another issue with the voting, given what we've seen here in 2020?
I think the answer is it depends on where you live, and what I'm most concerned about is states like Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Nevada that changed their rules heading up until the election, like, and just having local clerks say, yep, ballots can be counted for 3 additional days, or, you know, you don't have to have a signature match on this. And I think that we need to make sure that doesn't happen again, that they can't just sort of send a ballot out willy-nilly to whomever they choose and then decide how long it takes to get in. I mean, it's amazing how that just occurred and how little pushback there was.
Yeah, that is amazing. And so far now we have to basically, and I'm just wondering whether or not if we have a Republican-controlled House and Senate in the next election, whether or not the president, the vice president, and the entire cabinet, in addition to the Speaker of the House, can be impeached. What do you think about that narrative?
I think I had Kevin McCarthy on my show the other day, and I asked him point blank, like, what do you, and he didn't answer the question directly, but he definitely said that people like Eric Swalwell will be taken off their committees, which is a start. It's just a question of how much bandwidth they have and how big the majority is. I mean, and if he has a 20-seat majority, I think there's a lot more that can happen than if he had, say, a 3-seat majority, because I don't know that you need 218 to get things done. And I just don't know that there's the will right now, if you just get a narrow majority, to do a lot of stuff versus if you had a healthy majority.
Right. And then, of course, now voting the party line, this doesn't seem to be a sensical thing, as I've been talking about on the show. It's more along the lines of voting for the person and not the party, because it's the person that's going to do what you say and do the will of the people instead of their own will, which I'm seeing a lot of self-aggrandizing and a lot of self-serving attitudes. It seems like this has not changed. I mean, there's so many rhinos now that are facing upset in their own states because of what they've done here supporting this current agenda. What do you see?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think, for example, I mean, on the infrastructure bill, I've asked people this, like, what did you get? I understand if you selfishly said, oh, my district got $1 billion and blah, blah, blah. but they were shut out of the process. I mean, so I don't think that argument holds water. If you weren't allowed to request anything, then you didn't get anything, and you just gave Biden a win. So I do think that you're going to see a lot of these folks that haven't done, you know, stood strong, face primaries. And you saw President Trump a couple days ago come out, it was Saturday night, I think, and say, you know, I want people to primary these folks. And I think a lot of people are taking him up on his offer.
I believe you're right about that. Sean Spicer, I know our time is up with you because you're a busy guy, and I know that you've got other folks you're talking to, but it has been a pleasure talking to you. And, you know, folks, you got to go to any of the places that carry books and get this copy of Radical Nation. I'm telling you, I've sifted through. I didn't even get in, and I'm going to be honest with you, Sean, I didn't even get into the deep down, but everything that I was skimming through and looking for buzzwords and looking for like paragraph headers, which is what I do when I skim books, you have nailed this thing chronologically down to the point where if anyone was confused, they certainly could get enlightened, getting to the crux of things just by getting this book and getting through it. I mean, it's very, very detailed, and I want to commend you and thank you for coming on the show, and thank you for writing this book.
Well, first of all, thank you for the kind words and for having me on the show as well. It's greatly appreciated.
All right. Well, I thank you so much and enjoy the rest of your day. Stay safe. And like always, we know that, you know, we can only hope and pray for America that that things work out in America's favor instead of against us. So thank you so much again for your time.